well, what makes sense anymore, right? Isn't that what we're all trying to do, trying to make sense of things? We try to make sense of why people harm each other. We try to make sense of why they have to hang the new stoplight in the middle of rush hour. Happened to me last week. We try to make sense of why it takes so much energy to be the person we're called to be. And sometimes we just throw up our hands in the air and, like the author of this scripture, declare everything to be nonsense because nothing makes sense to us anymore. What King Solomon has written speaks to us because we too want to make sense of things. We don't like confusion. We like understanding. And then there's a level of understanding that goes beyond the physical and emotional worlds, that goes beyond understanding the sea and the wind and the sun. That this understanding understands deeper than anything of the physical sense, because it is bigger than all of those things. It is of God. It's that spiritual, mystical understanding that is not obvious to the brain, but is known to the soul. It's the holy place within that I call the God self that transcends human understanding and grounds us when nothing else makes sense. Because let's face it, some things just don't make sense. They don't. And that's when we return to the source of life, the source of our lives, so that we can find a level of understanding there to center us and to guide us. When we can't make sense of what's going on, eventually we return to where we are grounded, to where we have that firm foundation, and then we begin to understand. We begin to understand that even though people come and go, God remains and is at the center of all things, of all of our coming and going. God is at the very center of our souls. And God is what gives us a sense of peace and understanding when nothing else can. And all the nonsense in the world can't keep God from bringing us back to our peace. So we can leave the confusion and all of the unknowns that drive us crazy, so that we can go back to that steady source within that not only grounds us, but frees us to live life to the fullest without fear. Because the unknown is scary. We like understanding. We like knowing things. And in the book, Letters to My Son, Kent Nerburn writes, "If we don't offer ourselves to the unknown, our senses dull, and our world becomes small, and we lose our sense of wonder. Our eyes don't lift to the horizon. Our ears don't hear the sounds around us, and we pass our days in a routine that is both comfortable and limiting. And we wake up one day and find that we have lost our dreams in order to protect our days." And Nerburn says, don't let yourself become one of those people. The fear of the unknown and the lure of the comfortable will conspire to keep you from taking the chances you need to take. But if you take them, you will never regret your choice. And in the end, you will be so much richer, so much stronger, so much clearer, so much happier, and so much a better person, that all the risk and hardship will seem like nothing compared to the knowledge and wisdom you have gained. Let's not be one of those people. Let's not let the unknown scare us away from living the lives we are called to live. Let's not stop living God's dreams for us because it doesn't make sense to us or to the powers that be or to the status quo. Let's not wake up one day to find that we've lost that dream just so we can protect the routine and the comfort of our days. Because that's no way to live. So how do we live that free? How do we stay centered when life gets crazy and doesn't make sense? Well, let me suggest four simple steps. Scripture, tradition, experience, and reason. It's what United Methodists call the quadrilateral. And if you remember the confirmation service from last week, Charlie, you, Nevaeh and Keaton, I saw you guys earlier. You guys were asked about the quadrilateral, scripture, tradition, experience, and reason. It's a theology from John Wesley, our founding father. And instead of just hearing it as some kind of a theory or theology, let's apply it to life. Let's take, for example, something that a lot of us deal with, being super busy. And let's apply scripture, tradition, experience, and reason, and listen for God making sense to us in this. The first is scripture. When I think of being busy, the scripture that comes to my mind first was the scripture with Mary and Martha, where Martha is in the kitchen, busy preparing the dinner for everyone, while Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to what he has to say. And when Martha sees this, she gets upset and she says, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work? Tell her to come help me." To which Jesus replies, "Martha, you are worried and upset about so many things, but only one thing is important, and Mary is doing it." Only one thing is important. What one thing is most important to us in our busy lives? Are we doing it? I also think of the scripture in Genesis when God was busy creating the world, but he rested on the seventh day. When do we rest from our busyness? What gives us rest and restoration? Our scriptures may have been written a long time ago by people who lived a long time ago, but these stories were divinely inspired by God, and they will continue to divinely inspire us today. Scripture. The second piece of that quadrilateral is tradition. Tradition is our history. When we try to make sense of our lives, we can look back over the years and we can learn from the mistakes and the wisdom of those who have gone before us. Do we want history to repeat itself? Is there something we should never forget? As we look back at the tradition of busyness, let's jump back quite a few years to the 50s when they didn't have the technology that we have today. Life before Siri, microwaves, remote controls, email. In what ways was life more busy without those? And in what ways was it less busy? And doesn't every generation, to some degree, feel they don't have enough time in the day to get everything done that they need to do? And then I look back even further at Martin Luther from the 1500s, and I look at his tradition of praying for 3 hours every single day. He said, "I have so much to do that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer because I'm so busy." There are countless other things from history that can inform us about busyness, but you get the idea. The third tool we can use to make sense of things so we can return to our peace is experience. Scripture, tradition, experience. Experience is what we know to be true. It's our experience. It's tapping into that truth to guide us through all the unknown territory out there. What does our experience tell us about things? What do we know to be true about life? How will How will our lived experience guide us? And how accurate is it compared to history and others' experiences? And with busyness, how have we dealt with our busy schedules in the past? Do we generally go until we collapse and get sick? Or do we stop, breathe, and slow down the pace? What's our experience with busyness? And finally, the fourth tool we can use is reason. Reason is our logic, uses rationalization, engages the mind. Not the voices in our heads, but the voice of reason. The one that encourages us to slow down a little bit and see things step by step. If we think things through, what can we let go of so we can do the one thing that is important? And how would letting go of those things change our days? Change our busyness? Can we go step by step and prioritize some things? If we use these four tools, scripture, tradition, experience, and reason, we will have a good start at getting grounded again. Because God is in this, and God is in us. And God brings us back to our peace even when nothing else makes sense, even when life gets chaotic. Therefore, we don't need to protect our days. As Kelsey showed the children so beautifully this morning, God is surrounding everything we do and is protecting our days. We don't need to protect our days. God is protecting our days. And with God protecting our days, we can trust that our lives will be so much richer, so much stronger, so much clearer, and so much happier, and that God's dreams are coming true for us. Amen. Holy Communion is done by intinction in our congregation, which means you'll be handed a piece of bread, and you dip it into the juice, and then you partake. Each of you should have been given a little slip of paper.